This is The Guardian.
I'm Jane Lee, coming to you from Wurundjeri land, and this is The Full Story.
A day here on camp usually starts with a big open organising meeting we have to map out what the day's going to look like, what events we want to schedule. A big focus of the camp has been trying to get the word out, so do outreach to amongst the student body. We've been making announcements in lectures to try to do everything we can to get the word out that we're here, we're protesting, and we want Sydney Uni to cut ties.
Last Tuesday, tents appeared on the lawns of the University of Sydney. They've since multiplied as the world watches Israel's ongoing assault on Rafah. Now there are pro-Palestine camps at universities in every Australian state, joining students in the US and Europe who are calling for their schools to divest from Israel and an immediate ceasefire. Unlike US colleges, where there have been violent police clashes, the Australian encampments have so far been relatively peaceful. So how long could these camps last? And what could the protesters achieve? Today, Guardian Australia reporters Caitlin Cassidy and Daisy Dumas on the rise of pro-Palestine encampments. It's Thursday, the 9th of May.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So both of you, Caitlin and Daisy, have visited the University of Sydney in recent weeks where there's a pro-Palestinian encampment. Daisy, can you talk me through what you saw when you last visited the campus?
Yeah, sure. So I went last week, first of all on Monday and then again on Tuesday.
And tell me about how long you've been here and what camp's been like.
We've been here for 7 days now at the UCID Gaza Solidarity encampment.
People were in really good spirits. There are about 40 to 50 tents there. There were a few larger communal food tents and lots of smaller tents that people were sleeping in.
And the camping has been pretty wonderful. We have had this massive outpouring of community support every hour of the day, it seems.
There was a great atmosphere, very peaceful, welcoming, a sense of purpose and passion, but also quite a positive, welcoming, open feeling.
Like people just come by, they'll bring a barbecue, they'll bring lentil soup in this big barrel ready to give out to every person here. And it's honestly just so, so great to see.
You know, when I was down at the camp, there was a henna tattooing stand and people lining up to have their hands hennaed. And there were people sitting around in groups discussing learnings and reading historical documents about the history of Gaza. It didn't feel in any way aggressive. It felt very welcoming.
So it kind of feels like there's a small community that's all inclusive. And it just, I could say, honestly, I have never liked Sydney Uni as much as I do now.
And Caitlin, you were there earlier this week. What was the atmosphere like when you were there?
Yeah, I was there on Monday and it was quite an interesting situation because there were graduation ceremonies occurring literally right next to the camp. So you had people in their full robes with bouquets and parents taking photos. And then next to them was this, you know, tent saying Free Palestine and Palestinian flags. But it was still very peaceful. And I got the sense that they are expecting to be there for the long haul.
Mm.
And what did students tell both of you about why they were there?
I spoke with a load of different people who were at the camp on Monday, and they were a mixture of staff and students. And importantly, it's a site for people from different universities to come along to. So it's not just the University of Sydney students. So there were people there from Macquarie or from UTS, for example. They told me all about what they're hoping to get out of this, which is divestment and a ceasefire and cutting ties with Israel. But they also talked to me a lot about their right to peaceful protest and their sense of injustice at what's going on. And the students told me that they don't want their fees going towards Israel, essentially. It's a really diverse campus, and there are people there from all over the world.
My name is Linda Coria. I'm 35 years old. I'm originally from Iraq, although I'm also an Australian citizen and have been living in Australia for the last 12 years.
One of the staff members is from Iraq and had lived through the Iraq War. Her father was killed in that war, and she felt driven to join the protest because she had seen the consequences of war.
And most of my friends lost at least one family member in the war. And the global silence just enabled it to go on for years and years and years. And now, as someone who lived through it, I can't help but empathize with the Palestinian cause. And if it cost me a job, so be it. It is what it is.
Another was a student who is Palestinian, and for similar reasons, she just felt that she had to be there.
To bring awareness to resist. We're resisting what USAID is doing, to cut ties with Israel, to fight for its freedom.
I also had a chat with Shovan Batarai. She's a 25-year-old activist at the pro-Palestine camp in Sydney, at the University of Sydney.
The best outcome for us would be that the protest grows, that more and more students who are outraged about the state of what's happening in Gaza today come out and join the activists in putting up a fight to it.
She's one of the key organisers of the group and volunteers with Students for Palestine.
A big win for us would be that Sydney University, you know, cut its ties with weapons companies. That's what we're trying to fight for here as well.
The whole camp is made up of donations from passers-by, from students, from staff. So I had a chat with Harrison, who's the head of the SRC at Sydney.
And the community support for this ongoing encampment has been massive, frankly.
And he was completely buoyed by what was going on.
And we have community members who are donating items, but also money in cash. So we have a GoFundMe account and people just also walking by, whipping out $100 bills out of their pockets to give to us to use on essential items for the encampment, things like tents and tarps and sleeping mats and food. And that warmth, I think, we're all really feeling.
And also I just canvassed passers-by who weren't part of the protest, and the unanimous feeling was we support peaceful protest and they have a right to be there.
I got a really a sense from younger students that they feel like this is kind of a pivotal moment in history. The references to things like the Vietnam War protests that we saw back then, and that this is kind of their moment where they wanted to take a stand, and then also taking quite a lot of inspiration from what's happening in America, in the sense that, you know, students are facing arrests there and quite punitive measures, that there's this kind of global sense to what they're doing and their purpose.
Yeah, totally.
And Caitlin, it's not just the University of Sydney, is it? I mean, there are other universities involved in these encampment protests against the war in Gaza.
Yeah, it's spread quite significantly even in recent days. So it started at the University of Sydney, but then bobbed up at the University of Melbourne, University of Queensland, ANU, Curtin in WA, and the University of Adelaide. So it's now in every state in Australia. And they all have fairly similar objectives. So they want universities to disclose any partnerships that they have with Israeli weapon manufacturers or companies that are basically providing weapons to the Israeli army. And they also want their universities to come out in firm support of a ceasefire and for that kind of public awareness to shift attitudes.
Mm. And as you mentioned, Daisy, it's not just students who are participating in these protests. You did interview one staff member. Did you find many other academics or other staff members participating in the encampment?
No, I didn't speak with any others. And I had a chat with that staff member, and she's the one who's from Iraq, about why that could be.
I can't speak for everyone, but I get a sense that it's a very politically charged issue.
Her general feeling was that people are a bit nervous about it. They're not sure how this is going to pan out. They don't want it to reflect badly on them, and they're worried about their positions.
And people perhaps are afraid of being on the wrong side of someone in power, and that might cost them their jobs. And I'd be lying if I say that's not a concern of mine as a very, very junior researcher. But there are bigger things than future jobs and careers. There's innocent lives of Palestinian women, children and men who are being taken away from them, their livelihood, their actual life, their future. They're just being taken away from them, and a job cannot never be as important.
And Caitlin, do you know if there is broad support from academics and staff for these encampments across Australia?
Yeah, so the National Tertiary Education Union, which is the peak body representing university staff, has maintained the importance of free speech and the right to peacefully protest. The University of Sydney branch is actually debating a motion today, which is specifically calling on the university to cut ties with Israeli academic institutions and stop all weapons-related research. So if that motion passes, it will be the first university in the country that has a union endorsing the institutional academic boycott of Israel.
Hmm. Well, students are saying that they are against Australian universities' financial connections to the war in Gaza. What are some of those connections?
So I guess something that is a little bit difficult and is what the students are calling for is for it actually to become public knowledge what their financial connections are. It's a little bit difficult to completely ascertain, you know, if there is a direct correlation between, you know, weapons going into Israel and these institutions. But at the University of Queensland, for example, protesters are demanding that the institution close its Boeing Research and Technology Australia Centre and divest from companies with direct and indirect ties to Israel, including BAE and Northrop Grumman.
Well, I think as students, we have a responsibility to stand up to the disgusting genocide that is happening in Gaza, especially when our universities have ties to weapons manufacturers that actually make weapons that are dropped on Gazans and kill Gazans every day.
As Caitlin just said, it's hard to know exactly what the links are, but bearing that in mind, each protest camp has got slightly different demands. At Sydney, they are specifically taking aim at the university's memorandum of understanding with the French multinational Thales. They manufacture defence components, amongst other things, and also is taking aim at the links to Raytheon, the defence contractor that's based in the US. And the university's chancellor, Belinda Hutchinson, is actually one of the directors on Thales's board. Mm. University of Melbourne students are taking aim at the institution's links to defence companies, including Lockheed Martin, which has given $3.5 million towards PhD scholarships since 2016. And at ANU, they are demanding an end to the university's investments in BAE, Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman.
And Caitlin, how have the universities responded to these encampments and their claims so far?
They've been broadly aligned in maintaining the importance of free speech and the right to peaceful protest, particularly kind of embedded in the culture of an academic institution historically. They're also saying there's no place for hate speech or discrimination and that they will, when necessary, enforce their codes of conduct and take appropriate actions. So, for instance, at the University of Sydney, the Vice-Chancellor, Mark Scott, has been really strong on the fact this is central to what a university is. You know, we debate ideas, we have respectful debate. But when there was instances that they raised of things like graffiti or of roads being blocked, that's when action would be taken because that breached their code. So there's really been an kind of continued resistance of the Group of Eight, which are sort of the big universities in Australia, to shutting down the protests, an unwillingness to, you know, escalate things by bringing in police when not necessary. But they've also maintained that, you know, we're mindful of the safety of our students, and if students need counselling or need extra support services, then that's there.
Mm.
Mark Scott also made specific comments on LinkedIn where he said that he wasn't convinced what's happening on US campuses with, you know, that police presence and arrests demonstrates a pathway to greater safety or security for any students or staff. And then he pointed to the importance of, you know, thoughtful exchange of divergent views. Basically, we don't want to be a nation where we can't disagree with one another. And, you know, the head of the Group of Eight, Vicky Thompson, similarly said that we don't want to be like the US.
At the end of the day, freedom of speech and free speech, this is it in action, right? Free speech is uncomfortable.
Mm.
That's been the big thing that all the universities have said in their responses to me was, we all support peaceful protest, but it has to be done with respect, and safety has to come first, and the safety of all of our students and the ability to learn in a safe environment.
Mm. And have either of you spoken to Jewish students about how they're feeling about these protests on their campuses at the moment?
I think it's important to preface that Jewish students and people are not a monolith. They have differing views on the protests and, you know, on the conflict in Gaza more broadly.
You could also say the protesters aren't a monolith either, and nor are all the students and all the staff. Like, no, there's no, these aren't just big one group.
Mm.
I've spoken to the vice president of the Australasian Union of Jewish Students, Zach Morris, and he's met with the University of Sydney on multiple occasions because he's based in New South Wales.
So there really is a palpable sense of concern, because whilst everyone supports freedom of speech and robust debate, and to be able to have that robust debate on campus, the temperature and the culture that Jewish students are experiencing right now is actually not conducive to being able to have those discussions.
So he's fielding direct concerns that are actually coming from Jewish students, and said that he was really disheartened by their response to concerns from students and from staff, not just about the encampments, but also concerns since Hamas's attack on Israel on October 7. He said it's really felt that campuses have become more unsafe for Jewish students, and that obviously not all universities have responded in a universal way, but that there really needs to be more serious action taken to address these concerns, and kind of pointed to students that have been afraid to go to class, students that really don't want to be on campus.
So there's a real sense of self-censoring, a real sense of hiding one's identity, which is something that's also bringing back a fair bit of intergenerational trauma for a lot of students too.
On their website, the Australasian Union of Jewish Students do subscribe to Zionist ideals espoused in the World Zionist Organization's Jerusalem program, and seek to promote a positive image of Israel on campus. There have been other organizations that are really reiterating the importance of the protests and what they're espousing. Obviously, there are Jewish students that are part of the protests themselves. So, yeah, it's definitely not a universal view.
I don't think that this movement makes Jews unsafe. I, as a Jew, do not feel unsafe marching in rallies or hanging out here. I think that making us feel unsafe is part of Israel's agenda. It's not a reflection of the reality on the ground.
The Jewish Council of Australia has condemned a wave of counter-protests that we've been seeing in response to the pro-Palestine protests on campus. So one that occurred at the University of Melbourne last week, they compared to a motley group of right-wing Zionists. And the Jewish Council of Australia's co-executive officer, Sarah Schwartz, also told the ABC that conflating Judaism with the Israeli government's actions in Gaza is a way in which the Netanyahu government can actually attempt to garner support.
Well, one real challenge here is that Israel and its lobby have done a really good job of painting this as a religious conflict, of painting Jewish identity as being inextricably linked from Israel.
For the people, because we're all precious.
There was a moment at last week's rally on Tuesday at the University of Sydney where Nasser Mashni, the president of the Australia-Palestine Advocacy Network, called out to all these drenched supporters in the pouring rain and told them that love had to come first and that there was no place for anti-Semitism in pro-Palestinian protests. It's a place for everybody and it's a safe space.
And a special shout out to our Jewish brothers and sisters, our siblings, our Jewish crew. You know that this is where you belong. You know you are safe. You are safe here because this movement, the struggle for Palestine, is an anti-racist, anti-colonial, love-filled movement.
And so clearly a diversity of views even just within the Jewish community on these protests. But what sort of broader community support do you think there is for these protests in Australia?
This is probably actually a good time to mention that there has been, unfortunately, some instances of people outside of the universities that have come in and been trashing camps of the protesters. Late on Monday night at the University of Adelaide, students alleged that fireworks were thrown into their camp. So there is definitely instances of very hostile presences actually coming in and trying to disrupt these protests. Having said that, the students have said, you know, this isn't going to stop us. This is only going to make us stronger. And I think that's definitely, you know, a minority kind of fringe, which is also what we've seen at counter-protests, largely made up of people that don't attend the campuses but are coming in to kind of disrupt what is a largely peaceful presence. But I think Australians do have kind of an inherent value for peaceful protests. I don't think we're seeing, you know, despite some calls that we really need the police to come in and intervene, we're seeing a particularly, you know, strong concern in the community about what these students are doing. And I think you can kind of see that reflected historically as well, that we've broadly been able to protest on issues without things descending into kind of a moral panic.
It's only been a couple of weeks, so it'll be interesting to see what direction this takes. You know, apart from those outlier clashes that we talked about, the Australian protests seem to have been relatively peaceful, unlike the US, where campuses have called police in to disperse protesters, where violence has broken out on campus, where people have been injured. Why do you think there's been such a marked difference to what we've seen in the States with the student protests there?
I would say that's broadly been due to the stance of vice chancellors. Obviously, with university campuses being kind of this technically private space, it requires a managerial decision for police to be brought in and for the protest to be shut down. So when you've seen that response at American campuses, that's as a result of the universities wanting the protest to be shut down and wanting police to intervene. Whereas in Australia, there's been a huge reluctance for that to occur. And I think a lot of that is probably due to wanting to keep tensions as low as possible. So there have been, you know, minor instances when, say, there's a counter-protest or when a camp has been trashed that police have had to come on the scene. But apart from that, I think the stance that we've also seen kind of going up to a federal government level is that we really want to, what was the specific phrase that Jason Clare used, lower the temperature.
But also it's really important to acknowledge the context, and the US has got a very different relationship with Israel. Australia simply doesn't have the same connections that they have there, and the historical differences on that front.
Next, how long could pro-Palestine protests stay on campus?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Caitlin, earlier you mentioned that the G8 universities are resisting calls to bring in police or shut down these encampments. Where are those calls coming from specifically?
The calls are broadly coming from the coalition. So the shadow education minister, Sarah Henderson, has held a couple of roundtables with Jewish students and community leaders where she has heard, you know, allegations of anti-Semitic undercurrent in the protests. And she's been really strong on the fact that universities should bring in the police, they should shut the protest down, and the federal education minister, Jason Clare, should be taking a much stronger stance against the protests. Peter Dutton has made some pretty strong comments on media outings. He called university vice chancellors weak for tolerating the encampments.
What do you make of that characterisation of these encampments compared to what we're seeing actually happen on the ground?
I mean, I think when I went out to the University of Sydney's protest, just as an example, there were no signs that actually reference Israel at all or said anything apart from, you know, free Gaza, free Palestine. They were also kind of saying from Gadigal to Gaza, drawing correlations between the Indigenous struggle in Australia to the struggle of Palestinian people. Of course, I can't speak for every protester, but I think there have been, you know, some instances of, you know, an ANU organiser on the radio offered unconditional support for Hamas and another refused to condemn the terrorist group. But I would say more broadly there has been a considered effort to ensure that it's not an anti-Semitic space and it is a safe space. Though, yeah, I think there's also an element of the protests, as we've seen in the US, being weaponized by the opposition as kind of a wedge issue.
Where could all of this go next? How long do you both think these encampments could last?
The students I met were there for the long haul. You know, it's the beginning of winter. It's going to get nastier to camp. But there's a lot of passion, and I think there's a lot of commitment. And I don't know how that's going to affect their university work and how they're going to manage it, but they seemed very dedicated. Some of the students I spoke to are having to do dashes home to get clean socks and dry clothes because I don't think they thought it was going to last this long even a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Though there is, it's becoming kind of like a well-oiled machine as well. You know, they've got their little, like their water stations and their food set up. And each time I've asked a student, you know, what are your plans if we're not seeing much movement from university management, and they're saying, you know, look at what's happening in Gaza. Until that situation improves, we're going to stay here, and we're not going to go down without a fight.
That was education reporter Caitlin Cassidy and reporter Daisy Dumas. You can find more of their coverage of the pro-Palestine student protests at theguardian.com, including a recent article by Caitlin about how politicians have weighed into the protest movement. We've linked to some of those recent articles on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Camilla Hannon and Alison Chan, sound design and mixing by Joe Koning. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also leave us a review. I'm Jane Lee. Catch you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.